With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Joining me to take Twitter questions, as we do every week until the live call-in show makes its triumphant return, is said live call-in show co-host, Joshua Hart. Josh, how are you feeling? Did you watch that game last night and feel nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upside stomach, diarrhea, while TJ McConnell looked like Steve Nash?
Not that last one, but yeah, the Raptors are bad again, maybe. Seems like 2 weeks of playing really, really hard basketball has its its detriments. That was enough. And now this team, no more effort, no more will to win. Guys are breaking down. Kyler has turf toe or something, like Pat Mahomes. And Pascal Siakam has hurt his groin again. It's all coming up. OG Anunoby maybe almost had a concussion yesterday. It's all coming apart at the seams.
Yeah, listen, I would love to have one of these call-in shows where the Raptors win right before the call-in show, so we actually have good stuff to talk about. I think we may have gotten that last week, kind of, but as always, when they lose, you get more feedback, and you guys have kindly sent in 77 questions in addition to assorted DMs. So I'm going to try my best to get through my mentions at the moment, but if we don't get to it, we apologize. We do appreciate all the questions. Let's start with last night's game. So this first one from AA Ron. After last night's game, it seems like the players have accepted the season for what it is, development. Their lackadaisical attitude on defense is not something we're used to seeing. What are your thoughts on how to get them back to that gold standard? Josh, if you are Nick Nurse, how do you tell these guys to do their jobs?
I actually think this is a decent question, but I think the answer is there isn't one. Like, the Raptors played really, really hard when they won that West Coast road trip, and they continued to play hard through the Miami games. And I just think they're running out of gas. Like, they're not real. Like, they didn't solve the fundamental problems of the rotation. They just worked really hard, and that's great. Like, it's signature of Raptors basketball, especially in the sort of Nick Nurse plus the We the North era. But eventually your team has to be good without playing extremely hard, and that's the problem. Like, no one's really good on this team this year, and that's it's not good. You sometimes it's nice to have a guy who can carry you to a win, score 30 points, 15 rebounds, that kind of performance. And there's nobody on the Raptors that's doing that anytime soon, except for OG on Sunday.
Yeah, good for OG, man. He's definitely the most popular Raptor at the moment. And he's got a new commercial, which we will definitely break down. But yeah, the Raptors right now, defensively, 16th in the NBA at 109.2, tied for the Indiana Pacers, 109.2. There's a lot of teams bunched up between 108. Like, Cleveland is 6th at 108.3. And the 20th ranked defense is, well, the 19th ranked defense is Orlando, and they're at 110. So everyone is in middle of the pack. The Raptors are squarely middle of the pack. Only team that is separating themselves defensively, at least in a positive way, is the Lakers, who are like a full 2 points ahead of everyone else. And
the Lakers are they're better than they were last year.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they've added better pieces, man. But imagine improving, like, your team after winning a championship. I don't know about that one.
I know everybody's, like, talking about the Clippers this week. Every time I've watched the Lakers, there's like a sequence where it's just it's impossible. They're so good.
Yeah. No, they just crush teams.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Everybody they bring in is good, and then they also have Kyle Kuzma, who is, like, good a third of the time. But, yeah,
Kuzma.
I think, honestly, in terms of just the effort with the Raptors, like, you know, they just – I think, one, the rotation continues to shuffle a little bit. I think Nick has settled on a top seven, ish.
Yeah.
Baines is kind of creeping back in. Honestly, the other night I was watching, I was like, I wouldn't hate it if Baines came back in to guard a pick and roll, because they just kept going at Chris Boucher and they kept scoring. And I was like, this might be why Chris is on the bench. Like, defensively, it just wasn't there. But I think in terms of effort and things like that, it's kind of tough, man. I think last year, obviously, they had two really good centers, especially with Mark and also with Serge, who can bring you so much stability around the basket. Raptors still are doing a decent job overall at guarding at the rim, the numbers say at least. But it just, the eye test looks like they're more porous. You know, I think yesterday the perimeter defense let them down a little bit. There was a lot more dribble penetration from guys like Brogdon, guys like TJ McConnell, and that hurt. And, of course, there was like 45 free throws given up, which, you know, as much as the Raptors complained about, they also gave up like 50-plus percent shooting from the field, 40-plus from three. Yep. So the effort, you know, it wasn't there. And if the Raptors have to be all-out effort every single game to be good. And I don't know if that's sustainable, especially in like this current era of basketball where no fans around to sort of like, you know, pump you up when you are down. And honestly, like, you know, I think the players know what it is. So I don't know. There feels like, I don't know. I think maybe it ties back into something bigger is like the 2 years ago, it was about going for a championship and winning the championship. Last year was about defending the championship. What is this season about?
Great question.
Yeah, so it's a concern. It's a bit of a concern.
Yeah, I just think of it like, you know, there are times in your, like, anyone's work life where you can give like an all-out 2 week sprint, and then if your boss is like, we need that effort every day, you're like, that's not you know, it's not gonna happen. Like, I'll do my best, you know, when we need it, but like going all out has its consequences. People eventually grow weary of burning the candle from both ends. Shout out to Dan Reynolds. He doesn't listen to this podcast, but he knows what I'm talking about.
Shout out to Dan Reynolds, man.
He got a promotion now. All he does is work.
Yeah. Well, that turns out that's why people get promotions. So in terms of rebounding percentage for the Raptors, I mean, if you want to look at things like that, like, you know, 72% defensive rebound percentage. It's the sixth worst mark in the league. If you look at how many fouls how many fouls the Raptors average, it's actually fouls. The Raptors average. Raptors are third worst in the NBA. 22 fouls per game, just only ahead of the Golden State Warriors and the Washington Wizards. You know, in terms of how many free throw attempts do the Raptors give up? That they're also bottom 10. They were dead last for a while. Now they're creeping up to up
it's to 23rd. It's because Pascal's not been playing. It's because Pascal's not been playing.
But yeah, so it's I don't know. They have real worrying markers. They have real boring markers. I don't feel like they're tied in every night.
The team's not. It's like I agree that this team's not bad enough to tank, but they're not good enough to look good every night. Like, they just. Sometimes
they're kind of average, man. They're pretty average.
Yeah, and you'll know like 6 minutes into the first quarter, like whether or not they can compete at the end, that doesn't matter. But you'll know early in a game whether or not they look good, and then they will either remain okay until the end of the game, or they'll have like a hot streak at the beginning of the third quarter, and maybe it's a race to the finish, and they're still. Yesterday night, notwithstanding, like, they're pretty decent down the stretch in these games for, I guess, because they have so much experience and Fred's able to lock in on guards down the stretch. But it's not a good team. They're getting pretty bad to watch. Yes, I'm getting tired of seeing third quarter leads blown. It's just.
Yeah. Well, don't worry, man. Yesterday was a fourth quarter lead blown, so you're all good. You know, they change it up. They don't want to make it stale. Next question from Jeff, also kind of about last night's game. If Masai receives a phone call about Lowry that's too good to pass up, does he do it or should he do it with Lowry's permission? We've kind of talked about this a few times. You know, other people have also asked questions about Lowry. You know, this one from Christian. Love the pod. Keep it up. Thank you. With the potential of losing Lowry this summer, should Nick sit him down and talk to him about coming off the bench to preserve him, quote unquote? On the flip side, does he need playing time and should he be benched in games like last night if he's cold? So essentially, people are, you know, I could tell people are a little bit upset with Kyle last night, which honestly, it's fine to be upset with a guy when he plays poorly, but
And also, you know, back from an injury, like it's...
Yeah, I was going to say, are we really going to bench Kyle? Like, that's not happening. He's clearly one of the Raptors' best players, if not their best player.
What did this guy look like? Did he look like DeMar DeRozan to you? I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Kyle Lowry on the court, the Raptors have been... Okay. Not, you know, honestly, it's not as prominent, his plus-minus. His on-off numbers. When the Raptors, when Kyle's on the court, the Raptors have an offensive rating of 110.6. When he's off, it's 111.9. So marginal. And when the Raptors, when Kyle's on the court, there is a 109 offensive rating for the Raptors as compared to 112 when he's off the court. So the defense suffers more, ironically. Usually in previous years, the difference has been very dramatic. At the moment, it's kind of even. You know, the Raptors are slightly better with Kyle on the floor. But it's clear
okay,
that
but give me the Raptors like record issue, over the last. What's the record of the Raptors over the last nearly a decade with Kyle Lowry on the court? Like, yeah. Enough of this. We should trade Kyle. Kyle's ready to leave, and there are lots of reasons and indications that he might be. That's one thing. But to say that this guy needs to get packaged arbitrarily is ridiculous. Of course, yeah, there are some deals out there maybe that would be compelling, like learning that a guy like Lonzo Ball is being dangled. I don't really think it makes sense to trade Kyle to, I don't know. Kyle to New Orleans makes some sense. They need someone who can set up Ingram and Zion. I think that Kyle and Stan would either get along very well or butt heads immediately. But all this to say, it's a Kyle Lowry's decision. It has to be. The organization can't take the hit of looking like they're dumping another franchise star. Especially when they have that max cap space in the offseason to do something with.
Yeah. I mean, look, the trading Kyle is a different conversation. If you're looking prudently at the future and you talk to him and stuff like that, then yes, you know, we can have that conversation. I think that's worthy. I think in terms of just criticizing his play, yesterday obviously was not good enough and he got himself ejected. You know, didn't like the whole look of the whole game from him, period. But on the whole, Kyle has not hurt the Raptors this season. He's been one of the Raptors' best three players at minimum, and he should start, period. I mean, obviously, yes, Norm has been good as a starter, and basically last year's Norm has returned this year, so congratulations to
you.
Josh, I'm personally happy for you every time he dunks the ball. And we'll talk about Norm next, but, you know, like, you got to find a way to get Norm in the starting five. Okay, I could see that. It's hard to move anyone else. You know, people are always skeptical of the two-point guard lineup. Again, the stats show that lineup has been quite good this year, but okay, people just fundamentally don't like having two small guys, whatever. But I think if we're just strictly talking about performance, Kyle obviously is in the starting five, and I really don't know why that is even a conversation a little bit. So, yeah, he sucked last night, of course, but, you know, that's clearly the rarity. Next question from Raptors Brazil. Should Norm be a starter? If so, would Lowry come off the bench? So Lowry's not coming off the bench. We know that. But, Josh, what have you seen from Norm as a starter the last few games? He's clearly been quite
good. He's definitely really decisive when he's with better playmakers and is able to finish plays and not be expected to make a good pass because it's not happening for Norm.
Back-to-back games with six assists for Norm and Powell.
That's true. That is true.
They're all. By the way, I watched the video of them. They're all like, guy drives the paint, kicks us to the corner. Norm's in the corner. Norm swings the ball to the wing.
Yeah, it's just him. It's just him passing it out of the short corner to the guy in the elbow. It's fine. It's good.
No, it's good basketball.
But it's not.
Yeah,
it's good basketball.
Yeah.
It's been exciting to see him be more decisive when he's out there with the starters. I think that like. I hope that the confidence boost he's got and Nick Nurse finalizing that it's going to be Norm, Utah, Stanley kind of out there together for stretches. And that's been the case over the last few days. I hope that those guys are able to build some chemistry. So there's not going to be another bench mob sort of esque run, but a group of guys who know what they're doing, what they're out there to do, and can play together and build some chemistry. If Utah is able to finally, like, he has a really beautiful stroke, but can't seem to hit anything, then maybe we can get somewhere. But yeah, Norm has done Norm stuff, and I'm happy for him. Like, I'm glad that the talk that he's completely washed is over. I wouldn't say that he's every bit the player that he looked like in the last season, because he's able to do it coming off the bench, and he was very, very reliable. And I thought some of the, like, you know, shacked in a fool-esque moments were minimized. He seemed to be have that stuff under control a bit more last season. But I'm happy for him. It's been a good week. He's not been the problem in the Raptors' rotation the last 2 weeks. So it's a welcome change.
It is absolute welcome change. Norm, as a starter this year, 19.2 points, 3.3 rebounds, 2.2 assists, 61% true shooting. Raptors have an offensive rating of 116, which is quite good when Norm starts.
Yeah,
when Norm is on the bench, comes off the bench, his average 10.5 points per game, his rebounds go down, his assists go down, his field goal percentage drops from 49% to 35%. 3% percentage is the same, so it's really just he's not getting to the basket as much, and his true shooting drops to 51%. It's pretty much the same as what happened for him last season. Norm off last season was still like efficient off the bench. His true shooting was 59% off the bench. But when Norm started last year, 19 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 65 true shooting percentage. Raptors had an offensive rating of 121. That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, that's just Norm. I think, honestly, the more better defenders he plays against, the better defenders he's surrounded by, the better chances he can get in transition. Like, the best two plays for Norm I've seen in the last two games was he's had possessions where there's been, like, two guys who are on offense and Norm chases down the loose ball and goes in and finishes, despite two guys pressing him. And that's been very impressive, but I don't know, man. I mean, who would you really take out of the starting five to start Norm? I think that's really the issue.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit of moving Pascal down, but that probably can't happen
that's not happening.
The injury he's nursing. But that's the only way you could make it happen. None of the other guys, Norm shouldn't be starting over any of those other guys. Unless if Kyle was going to be nursing this for a little while, maybe.
He's clearly not, man. He's clearly not. Yeah.
But that's only it. Like, if Kyle's like, actually, I'm not going to play on this foot for a week or two. Go nuts. Norm play 8 games in 2 weeks. This schedule, it's insane. It's brutal. The Raptors have played 17 games already.
Yeah, I know. They play 4 games every week. It's actually unbelievable.
The season started on Christmas. Like, like, you know, knock on wood, the Raptors don't have, like, a health protocol scare. Mm. But, like, there are going to be teams playing, like back-to-backs every week after March. It's going to be, like, nuts. What are we doing? Why are we playing basketball? Anywho.
Yeah, well, listen, man, the players wanted to play. And the owners wanted to play. Yeah. So this is what they have. Yeah, I mean, I think starting Norm is just very – it's difficult, I think, in terms of where you want to take out. If you want to take out Baines and you want to start Norm that way and just be small all the time, you know, that might be the most realistic path. But it seems like Baines is coming on a little bit. I think as of right now, Norm as a sixth man who can fill in as a starter and be so productive is a good thing. But it's also kind of concerning to me that he can't do this off the bench. I just whatever he needs to happen for him to do this off the bench. I think, you know, the Raptors should try it, because when Norm plays like this, he's absolutely a benefit to the team. And again, it's way better than what he was doing at the start of the season. So I'm just personally happy for Norm. Next question.
Out of the doghouse.
Definitely out of the doghouse. I mean, honestly, playing like 40 minutes and doing a good job of it. Jason asks, why do you think Bembry doesn't get playing time? In the preseason, it seemed like Nurse was really high on him. Is it an issue of him not being a 4/5?
Probably.
I think Nick really wants size, and Stanley has stepped up in his role. Utah stepped up in his role. And so those are his go-to defenders off the bench. And then in terms of guards, I mean, Nick's not really giving that many opportunities. I mean, he gave TD some chances, and then he would have like 5 fouls or 5 turnovers or just like
somehow both
bad plays. Yeah, exactly. Both at the same time, and then he went to Bembry. So I don't know. Well, are you seeing anything from Bembry's game that you kind of like? Where you're like, you know,
not really.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you like the only guy? Like, we're not that we're past Stanley's comeback season. We'll talk about that.
No, listen, we gotta feast on that for a week, man.
But like Stanley Johnson, yes, that's good. I think maybe you can see Utah coming on quite strong. I would probably still put the likelihood that Paul Watson can be a regular contributor ahead of Bamber being a regular contributor.
Wow.
Just because that, like, and I don't even really believe in the Paul Watson stuff just yet. I think I can see why people are excited about him. He looks like an NBA player more often than not. I just don't know how Bembry leaps the necessary guy to see real minutes for this team.
Yeah.
Which is too bad, but I don't know. It's kind of like he's kind of in the role that Stanley was in last year, where he loses to a guy and you are stuck behind him all season. Who knows what you have to offer? Mm-hmm. And it's kind of just... That's just it's like it sucks, but it's, you know,
yeah.
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson beat Stanley Johnson for the big off the bench role, and he didn't give it up. And that's you have to credit Rondae for that. And I don't know who exactly Nick Nurse would have to leapfrog Bembry over to give him real playing time besides Stanley Johnson. Mm-hmm. Then the Matt Thomas propaganda machine has really got to take a long hard look, but he was out there yesterday doing nothing. He looked so distraught on defense. I couldn't believe it, and he was so jittery. Like he needs some milk. Like, what is going on with Matt Thomas? He looks, like utterly like shook on defense.
Well, I mean, listen, when Nick's about to pull you for anything. I can see him being nervous, but I don't know. He does seem a little bit nervous, jumpy to me, I guess. But I mean, he did have that 4-point play, man, which was like already like the leading score off the bench last night was 9, which was Utah Watanabe, which like I love Utah. You guys, obviously, everyone knows he's, you know, he's one of my favorite guys on the team at the moment. But I mean, come on, he should not be your leading score off the bench. If he is, you're probably losing.
Yeah. You know?
So that's tough.
But like what Bembry's going to give you, what, 6 off the bench?
He basically does what Stanley does, except Stanley has proven to be better on defense because he can guard more positions.
Yeah.
And also, honestly, a decent playmaker. So I don't know what else he's going to give you that – or Bembry's going to give you that Stanley's not giving you. So I think it's just an overlapping skill set there.
And if you want to play with a shooting guard – slightly better post-game fits? No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know, to be honest. I can't really see what these guys are wearing these days.
That's true.
Yeah. Next question from Adam. Utah should have been playing over Bembry in the last 6-minute stretch of the fourth quarter last night. Why was Bembry in the game? You know, I thought this as well because I'm like, yeah, of course, Utah should be in. So Utah checked into the third quarter at the 4:30 mark, and he checked out of the game at the 7-minute mark of the fourth quarter, which means he played a stretch.
Oh, wow.
Of, 10 straight minutes. Almost 10 minutes, like 9 straight minutes. So that's why he wasn't in. That's the only reason, I think. He needs to get some rest. But I don't think Bembry was the reason the Raptors lost. I think the Raptors' main guys didn't play well enough last night.
Yeah, come on. That's...
That's why he didn't play. That's all.
Yeah.
Next question from Dex. Thus far this season, Boucher's numbers have improved a lot. Not just playing more minutes, he's more efficient. What do you think is the biggest difference? Is it different schemes, better decision making? Felt like the game was too fast for him a lot in the last couple of years. What do you see that's tangibly different with Chris?
Like so much space to shoot and confidence. I think like he showed flashes of this even in the bubble. Like he just has improved pretty consistently. I think I would worry that things are starting to turn for him, Those 20-point games, we haven't seen them in like 2 weeks. But to me, I don't really see anything that he was unable to do. The three is not falling the way that it was previously, but he's still getting to the boards. I don't know. I'm happy with Chris, even though he's not been on the same hot streak that he was really early in like the first 3 weeks of the season, but he still looks every bit the player who should be starting for this team.
Yeah, well, I mean, starting for this team, yeah, I think so. But I think starting for a team that has real playoff ambitions, he's not at that level yet.
No.
Chris for the season is averaging 14, which I think, honestly, the bump in minutes, it's his per-minute production is actually quite similar, which I think says to me the same as what I'm seeing in the game, which is that he's kind of serving the same role. He's doing a lot of stuff that's kind of similar, contesting for offensive rebounds, blocking threes, picking and popping, rolling hard to the basket, drawing contact that way. Like, this is a lot of the stuff that he was doing. I think, A, he's getting better setups now because he's playing much more minutes with Fred and Kyle. It felt like last year, I think some of his minutes are also diluted because you also come in the third string minutes. So, like, let's say you're blowing out the Pacers by 40 points. Whole fourth quarter is just like extended G League run, so Matt Thomas can have 17 points and Boucher will be there randomly jacking up shots. That's going to hurt your percentage when he's not set up. But I think he's also playing with more confidence. I think him knowing every single game that he's going to get into the game has really helped.
Yeah,
he's done well in that bench role. Guys look for him, and yeah, I think really the issue now is it's not even so much the scoring, which I enjoy the scoring. It was great when he was scoring 20 a game for like 2 weeks. And it has felt different when he's had 8, 5, 12, and 9 points in the last four. I think the biggest thing for me is I just want to see more growth on the defensive end too, because, when the Raptors close games, part of the reason why I feel like they can't get it done sometimes is because they can't get it done defensively. And guys are just going after Chris all the time in the pick and roll. I thought in the Portland game, they went after him a ton. I thought last night, they definitely went after him, man. I mean, whatever, they were calling everything. If you touched Miles Turner, it was a foul, but they definitely struggled with that matchup. And yeah, I mean, if Chris can improve defensively, which is just comes down to positioning, which comes down to everything else he does decently well. He has great athleticism, he does rotate, he's willing. Sometimes he gives up drives on the perimeter, but which center doesn't? But yeah, if he could just be more solid defensively, I think that's more what the Raptors need from him than the offense. Because honestly, the offense, he's going to take 12 shots, as Nick Nurse says.
The Raptors need the offense, but...
But I mean, I think they might need the defense more, honestly.
Yeah,
I you're going to play him a lot of minutes. And even if he does score for you, if he's giving a lot of that back because he's not as solid defensively, then you're not really going anywhere. Whereas I think other players can step up and fill that scoring void at least a little bit. Whereas that defensive void, you kind of just need your center to be solid defensively. And Chris has been good at times, but also bad at times. So, but I mean, if it's a development season, then absolutely see what he can do with consistent minutes every night. And he's getting consistent minutes every night. Next question from Raptors, Toronto Raptors of Brazil. Apparently there's a lot of Raptor fans in Brazil. I feel like I'm always seeing Brazilian fans on the timeline.
Hafa.
Okay. Maybe. How many Brazilian players have the Raptors had? I mean, it's Hafa. It's
Bruno. Bruno Bike. Bebe. When Bruno resigning? Bebe.
And Leandro Barbosa.
Yeah.
That's not bad. We just got to sign Anderson Varejão, and we might have and Marcelo Huertas, and we might have the whole of South America. Anyway. Toronto Raptors Brazil asks, right now our best run was 3 wins in a row. How long do you think our best run can get to this season? Josh, last year the Raptors had a 15-game win streak that matched a Canadian professional sporting record. What do you think their longest game win streak will be this year?
I like the Snapple fact that it was a Canadian. Did that include tennis matches and I don't know?
I think they had the CFL and like the the Stampeders or something was in there. I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah. What about, like, perfect games at a Bowlerama in Regina? That seems
I mean, they got to include, counting, like, curling. Oh, yeah, some kind curling, of curling record, yeah.
Scotties. So what was it? What's the longest the team could win? How many games they could win in a row?
Yeah. What do you think our longest win streak is this season?
I don't know. Do we ever have a really solid, like, I don't, like, what's the longest schedule, longest streak this season for any team?
That's a good question, and maybe I'll do some research.
This schedule freaking, the schedule sucks.
The schedule, like, makes it very hard. The longest active win streak of the NBA is 8 games for the Utah Jazz. Clippers have won 7 in a row. Memphis has won 5 in a row, although they had some games off and stuff like that. In the Eastern Conference, the longest win streak is 2 games. 2 games what? Is the longest. Had 3. I don't know. No. The active win streak at the moment is 2 wins.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Like, the longest, I would say, like, on, like, 5 and under. That's the be the range. I think it's gonna be really hard to.
Damn.
Do you think they're gonna play like 6 bad teams in a row? Like, I don't think they could beat the Sixers twice in any 5 game streak. Like,
yeah,
that the back to backs make it tough. The fact that there are a few really good teams in the East, and then even the, like, teams that aren't so good are very much like the Raptors. There's not, like, a gap. Like, there's not like the Raptors are 5 seed and then the, like, 7 through 10 are all crappy. The Raptors are kind of like rank and file Eastern Conference team this year.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at the schedule, but probably 5 would be the number. Do you have a more generous prediction?
I mean, it's hard to know without seeing what the second half schedule looks like. So, you know, that does factor in. Having said that, though, when I'm looking at the remainder of this month's or this first half of the schedule, the Raptors already played half of it. Don't really see a stretch where the Raptors win 5 straight, to be honest.
There's one here. So the Magic. Oh, no. Okay. Kings. Okay. Actually, Kings? It could happen next week.
Okay.
So, yeah. Kings are food. Magic back to back. Oh, no. 3 days off.
Yeah. But
no, 2 days off.
But they still, they play them twice, yep.
They play them twice. Then they play the Nets.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know.
I would wonder what the Nets schedule is like before that.
I mean, because listen. They're trying
to. Pascal Siakam is going to hit his season high against the Nets.
Sure, that's fine. But, I mean, you know, come on. We're losing that game against the Nets.
So is James Harden. Okay, so then they play the Hawks, Grizzlies, Wizards. Celtics are going to beat us. Then they play the Bucks twice in a week.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the schedule's tough. Like, predicting 5 in a row will be tough. If they beat the Nets, they could probably rattle off Kings, Magic twice. Although Magic, by the way, have a better record than the Raptors. Then beating Atlanta, maybe Memphis. You know, Memphis is one of the best defensive teams in the NBA at the moment, which did not see coming.
What's the longest losing streak you see the Raptors putting up this season?
Again, it's the same thing. I don't really see them putting up a huge losing streak. I think
because it's hard to beat. It's hard to lose to a team twice.
Yeah, the Raptors have lost 3 games in a row this season twice already. And I mean, I think. Yeah, I mean that's probably about it. To be honest, 3 or 4. Like, yeah, they're kind of an average team. An average team doesn't really go on long losing streaks or long winning streaks.
Yeah,
that's why they're average. So, I'll say 5 just with you.
I think they can beat the Timberwolves are like
the Wolves are trash.
I don't get so it. Bad. Like, I don't know what it, like.
Why did they cut Rondé? That was like the one guy on that team who was going to play defense.
Doesn't make any sense.
I don't understand. How could you treat Rondé like that?
Like, and like, not to be disrespectful, but Ryan Saunders' job security, I think, is a detriment to him. Like, I don't really see him getting fired, but he's not doing a good job.
No,
and. Like, eventually, like, you have a pretty good core. Like, you guys should go, you know, be a real NBA team. It's kind of an embarrassment. But shout out, who's there? Josh Okogie. I like him. Really bouncy.
Sure.
Who else is on that team? Is Malik? No, wait. Yeah, Malik Beasley. Mm-hmm. Is he still with the team? Like,
he's still with the team. He I'm pretty sure he re-signed. So he's averaging 20 this season.
Yikes. Well, I mean,
yeah.
Hopefully, Carl Towns is doing okay.
Yeah.
Tom Thibodeau's redeemed in New York City. No longer the.
Turns out it was Minnesota's fault. Jimmy Butler was right. Tom Thibodeau was right. All the other guys are right. It was Minnesota's fault. Next one from Saurus, T. Saurus. What is the team missing in terms of role players? Do we need another big to cement the roster spot now that they've waived Alex Len? Yes, I would very much like to see the Raptors get another center, preferably someone better than Alex Len. If you need to do it by trade, do it by whatever, then that's fine. But I don't know who they can pick off the scrap heap at the moment that is going to step in and play and contribute. I doubt that. But if the Raptors – I mean, look, I just like to see them upgrade the roster. Because I was looking at it the other day, and if you look at the Raptors team page, it's very strange. So you have Fred leading the team at scoring 19, then Kyle 18, then Pascal 18, OG 15, Norm 14, Boucher 14. The next highest score on the team is Terrence Davis at 7.3, but I'm, you know.
That's five turnovers.
Yeah.
Six personal fouls.
Terrence Davis per 36 at the moment. You ready for this? Four turnovers and five fouls per 36 minutes. Is 7.6. It's.
Get this guy off my screen. And he leads the team in bad vibes. Like, what are we doing here? I don't
know. It's real tough. But yeah, I mean, otherwise, Stanley, 3 points. This is even with the breakout season. He's at 3 points. Utah, who I have grown to like dearly, 2.4 points per game. Alex Len was at two. Malachi's at two. Matt Thomas is at four. Doesn't play. DeAndre Bembry's at one. Paul Watson's at two. Jalen Harris hasn't had a single NBA basket at the moment. Hasn't taken a shot yet either. Baines is at five. 4.7. So. It's a weird team. They pretty much only have six guys who are contributing, and then the rest of them are just like defend and hope. So, but yeah, I think the weakest position is center. If they can upgrade the center position, that'd be greatly appreciated. You want any of these Cleveland centers?
I want JaVale. I was saying the other day, JaVale.
He's already going to the Nets, man.
Yeah, it's probably true.
You want Drummond? Andre Drummond? No. Kevin Love?
No.
None of these guys? What about Kelly Oubre? He's available.
Could you imagine paying Kevin Love in the year 2022? Do you remember Troy Tulowitzki?
I do remember Troy Tulowitzki. Oh, come on. I'm a diehard Jays fan. How would I not remember Tulo?
I remember one time my dad called me, shout out Clifton from Etobicoke.
Shout out.
And said the Blue Jays will be lucky to pay $1 million per appearance that Troy Tulowitzki has for this team down the stretch. And even like Kevin Love just seems like it's so much money and so little output. Shout out to Kevin. You're a champion. No one can take it away. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a beautiful apartment that I saw on Architectural Digest. Shout out to you. But I don't really want you on my team.
2 years ago, Kevin Love shot 38% from the field for a whole season. I mean, he only played 22 games, but he shot 38% from the field. Last year, 56 games, 17 points. 10 rebounds, 3 assists, whatever. And this year he's only played 2 games. So that's tough. He is owed how much money? 31 this year, 31 million, 31 million the next year, and 29 million fully guaranteed in 2022, 2023. So good for Kevin. He's going to be enjoying Cleveland for a long time.
He has front row seat to watch Sex Land. It's kind of that's really happening right now.
I mean, listen, that's not terrible. Would you watch Cavs games full time if you got paid $31 million? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably. They're actually pretty like.
Yeah, yo, listen, they're better than the Raptors so far. I hate this year. All right, what about these other trade targets? Okay, Shams reports today some interesting names that are reportedly available. Lonzo Ball, JJ Redick,
Loft,
Kelly Oubre. Any of these three interest you? I mean, we already kind of talked about Lonzo earlier, but I'm asking
like Lonzo.
More specifically.
I think like Lonzo, if you get his rights, you sign him for under $17 million a year. You can bring in another like complimentary big, and that could be the core, like Lonzo, Fred, Pascal OG, and center X, and Chris Boucher off the bench, Norm Powell ops back in. I don't know. That's like a pretty good team. Like that's a competent seven, I guess. If so, and assuming that Lonzo Ball's 3-point shot is salvageable to the point of being not like heartbreakingly streaky. That's my opinion with Lonzo, that it's not good enough yet.
Lonzo, so last year he made real progress. He shot 37%. Yep. So he shot 30% as a rookie, 33, then 37. And it was like, okay, so he's clearly steadily improving his shot. And of course, against the Raptors, Lonzo was
against the Raptors. Yeah, him and him and Eric Bledsoe look like Giroux and what's the other guy?
Justin
lit up the. There's another Pelicans player. They lit up the Raptors in like November of 2018.
Oh, Etuan Moore.
That game pissed me off.
I know. It's horrible. If we could acquire Etuan Moore just to waive him from the NBA, we should do it. We should do it with Jeremy Lamb too, actually. Just trade for Jeremy and just cut his contract.
Do you ever think that you think Jeremy Lamb looks like Danny Brown? You know how Danny Brown cut his hair?
I'm gonna look it up.
I caught an angle of Jeremy like, whoa. Oh, that's a lot. Or Jeremy Lamb on Sunday. Anywho, Lonzo Ball in Toronto would be cool because he has a lot of star power. I like his game, even though like
I do like his game too. Yeah.
Him regressing to a 30% 3-point shooter is kind of back breaking, and it's broken the back of the Pelicans, mm-hmm. evidently.
Yep.
Like if he was a 37% 3-point shooter, I think that team's fixed, which is just kind of tragic.
I don't know. Okay, so he's had three games this season where he has shot better than 37% from three, okay? Just in a game, all right? All the other performances he's had is 33% or lower, okay?
Yeah.
Of those two of those three games, his best performance was against the Raptors, 4-for-8 on the season opener, and then 3-for-8 in the second game, the Raptors lost to the Pelicans. He's only had three games this year where he's been 37% from the three, and he has not played well. I don't think he necessarily fits that team. And yeah, it's tough. I mean, I don't know what to make of Lonzo as a player. I mean, he's still super young, 23 years old. And I do believe in the talent. I see he's a good defender. He's a quick passer, quick decision maker, things like that. I think the Raptors could use him. Absolutely. He's talented. But I don't know. What are you giving up to get him, you know? JJ Redick, I mean, listen, they aren't...
No.
I mean, he would help the team because he's better than most of the Raptors bench players. I don't know if that necessarily fixes too much, but he would help the team. I'm probably not going to give up assets. And then Kelly Oubre has just been... I mean, if you thought Lonzo was shooting poorly, let me just give you Kelly Oubre's shooting percentages. 21%.
Can you imagine?
21.
From the field? Okay.
From three, using his hands to guide the basketball from a fixed distance of 20 feet or more, he's at 21%. And his overall effective field goal percentage is 40% because he's also not making twos either.
What happened?
He's not that good. I don't know what to say. I mean, I thought, honestly, Phoenix last year, like, Phoenix was a very strange team. I felt like Ricky Rubio lifted a lot of players' shooting percentages by playing in a system that really worked. And guys who have been pulled out of that system have not really done well. So,
fair enough.
Yeah.
So,
no to the available players is what you're saying.
No, I don't really.
Keep waiting.
If you, like, what would the Raptors have to send to get Lonzo from there? It'd be, like, somebody good.
Yeah, like you probably couldn't get it done for like Norm. It's not like you're gonna be like, yo, you take Norm, we'll take Lonzo. I mean, look, I think the Pelicans are probably not interested in re-signing him. And so they're probably gonna try to get rid of him this year if they still can. But I think teams are probably gonna look at it like, if you're not gonna re-sign him, then we're not really going to view him like a restricted free agent. We're going to view him more of unrestricted.
Yeah, which is the reason why
to sign him. Period. Yeah,
which is why Norm's only destination is Denver.
I mean, you know, Norm could help Denver, but honestly, Raptors kind of need Norm at the moment.
Yeah, but that's the only team that I think really would be willing to give up the goods. And I don't know. Denver sounds like a team that has their picks. Yeah. But if Denver sent a prospect and a first rounder back,
if they did that, yes, absolutely. But I don't know if they will.
Maybe they don't like Masai. They'd be like, how can we trade with you?
Yeah. Well, I know GM should really like Masai, man. It's real tough. So, okay.
It's a losing strategy.
Yeah, seriously, it is. Nihilism and coffee. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Paul Watson. He's a promising player that's getting lost on that bench. Whenever I see him on the court, he's made a small mark in those limited moments. We haven't seen enough of Paul Watson to get an assessment of what he is at the moment. He's kind of in that Malcolm Miller role of like deep bench guy. He's had some nice moments in those third string minutes, but I really have no idea how to extrapolate that over into a regular role. He had a decent showing in the bubble. I think the team liked him then. But I think at the moment, what Nick really wants is defense from his bench. Just play defense. He doesn't even care if they score. Just play some defense, run, you know, get some baskets that way. And I think defensively, Utah's better than him. I think Stanley's better than him. And so those guys are ahead of him in the rotation. I think that's the long and the short of it.
Shout out Stanley.
Shout out Stanley, man. Listen, you know, maybe we should have like Paul's, you know,
Watson's watch list. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, we could, honestly. We just have to invest in a player. So far, we're trying to nurture Malachi. So
Watson Jr.'s watch this sooner.
That's terrible, man. That's terrible. But yeah, I mean, what do you see from Paul Watson? And by the way, the total minutes that Paul Watson has played in the NBA is 104.
It's like eight.
Which is probably the number of minutes this podcast is going to run. So,
facts. Yeah. What do I think? I don't know. He's not looked great. Like, he's looked okay. Like you, I think that I have Stanley. Like, how much do you want from your fourth? Like, he's not going to guard centers. He's not going to be able to, like, finish inside the way that, like, he's like a 3-and-D wing. Like, Raptors don't need a guy in that role to step up for this team. If he could be, you know, 4 inches taller, maybe we could talk, but it's not.
Well, I think if defense is not the way he cracks the rotation, then maybe he just needs to get to a point where he's super elite offensively, especially with the shooting, maybe like be a 6'6 shooting guard. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, he has worked hard, and there's good reports about him and stuff like that. But I think at the moment, the only good things that have happened with the Raptors bench this year have been on that wing spot and with the backup center, obviously, with Chris. And so Paul's limited in terms of, you know, spots. I'm not giving up on him or anything like that. I still believe in his talent and ability and things like that. And people who have watched the 905, like, you know, Blake, Kelsey, people like that, like, they'll have a better idea, absolutely. But, you know. For now, it's hard to tell based on the very few minutes of NBA basketball he's played. From the DMs, mailbag question. This might be minor, but it drives me crazy sometimes. The Raptors' half-court offense can be stagnant at the best of times. So why does Fred insist on using the entire 8 seconds to walk the ball up over the half-court line? So often it seems like they're not on the fast break. They don't start their offense until 15 or 16 seconds are left on the clock. I have to say, in Fred's defense, Kyle does this quite a bit too. It makes me nervous at least 3-4 times a game where Kyle was just like slowly inching up and almost like violating the 8-second backcourt violation.
Yeah.
It's a bad habit. It is a bad habit. I think teams like to slow down the pace of a game sometimes and try to run a set. But yeah, I don't particularly like the strategy. I'm against it just philosophically, I think. It's just, what's the point? You have 24 seconds in basketball, but like it's precious. Like, don't waste 8 seconds just to slow the game down. You could just, even if you want to waste 8 seconds, just waste 8 seconds in the front court, please.
Yeah, but not everyone is like, you know, 2015 John Wall. Just
there's no reason it should take 4 seconds to bring the ball up unless you're getting heavily pressured.
Yeah. No, I get it. I have noticed it before, but it doesn't really grind my gears away. It sounds like it grinds your gears.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. I mean, I think it's mostly just intentionally to try to slow the game down. But yeah, it is kind of annoying to me too. And then another DM question, what prevented Nick Nurse from continuing Matt's play after he had the 4-point play in the Pacers game? It's been very difficult for me to understand this Matt Thomas thing, not because I think he's going to like fundamentally change the game or anything like that. All propaganda aside, Matt Thomas is what he is at the moment. And I understand the defensive concerns and things like that, but I think other guys that have gotten minutes have made errors too. I think, you know, for example, a guy who would be directly in contention because they play the same role is Terrence Davis. And Matt, for all that he does and all that he doesn't, does a lot less in terms of making mistakes than Terrence, and does more in terms of actually guarding. So I don't know. Can we swap those two in the rotation for a second? I don't know. He's played a grand total of 10 minutes since the third game of the season.
Really?
Yes.
I guess the Raptors don't win games. The Raptors don't win games. Like, they don't even get, you know, the 3 minutes at the end of the fourth quarter to run other guys out there anymore.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It's bad. I mean, look, I understand. Everyone has to defend. I get it, man. But
when the other guy's giving up 5 fouls per 36, what's the point?
Yeah. I mean, that's bad defense right there. I mean, maybe they're trying to, like, showcase, like, a trade or something like that. I don't really know. But yeah.
Yeah, maybe this is all just evidence that Matt Thomas is untouchable.
Hey, listen, Matt Thomas per 36 minutes averaging 1.2 personal fouls. So that alone makes me feel more confident in playing him. At least if he does give up a guy, he's not fouling the guy, which the bar is on the floor for this whole season. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why Nick didn't try to play Matt more often. I think he's given Terrence this opportunity in the last like week or so to play. And I mean, if Nick is going to be as strict about what he needs from everybody as he is with everyone else, then yeah, I think that opportunity was not taken, you know? So.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, give Matt a shot. Give Matt 3 games, in like 10 minutes a game for 3 games. If he can't do anything in those 10 minutes, then fine. Put him back on the bench. But at the moment,
Doug, he looks so rattled when he's out there on defense.
Bro, my favorite thing is during the game, during intermissions and stuff like that, guys are going to huddle in the timeout, and Matt Thomas just goes and grabs the ball while wearing a mask and just like feels the basketball as if it's a foreign object. He's like, oh, what's this? You know, dribbling it a little bit. It's tough, man.
It's just like Klay Thompson. Like, Klay Thompson's foot's in a boot.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like dribbling, but it's clear that, you know, he's not going to be in the game. So this is his opportunity. This is the only time Matt Thomas touches the basketball is when nobody else's. Poor guy.
Tough situation. All right, next one from Ronald Lowe, the umbrella man, who's not my father again. A bit more fun question this time. If the Raptors had to send a representative for the dunk contest this year, who would it be? He says he thinks it would be OG because he would just throw down the most basic-ass dunk and be like, what? That was a dunk. Who do you think is the best dunker on the Raptors?
Norm's getting up there in age. Probably
Norm's Davis. Had some good dunks in the last week.
Yeah, Norm has had some good dunks. I don't know.
It might be OG's.
OG's looks. It's amazing to me that for a guy who came into the league with the expectation that he'd like lost a step athletically, but still was elite, I feel like he's improved in the last 2 years. Like, it's. He looks, you know, incredible at times. Obviously, he doesn't really do anything flashy the way Norm will sometimes punctuate like an 8-2 run. Mm-hmm. But yeah, well, it's Norm or OG.
Yeah. I think the Raptors have had this gift as a franchise to had like lots of great dunkers over the years. Maybe sometimes by design because the team hasn't been good. So they're just like, yo, here, here's to Mario Moon. Once in a while, he'll get on a fast break and impress you. And that's about it. Maybe we can make SportsCenter. Not even, or just TSN SportsCenter, not even ESPN SportsCenter. You know, well, I mean, come on, man. Sidney Crosby might have a little tap in. That might be number three on the SC top 10. But anyway, you know, they have very, very limited dunkers this year, I feel like. Maybe TD, but it's
not really. Like, when Terrence Davis has the ball in a fast break, he tries to pass the Norm.
and gets swept. He's going to be the first one to commit a turnover. He's going to commit a foul in a
He's going to commit a foul at them. Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah, it's probably OG. Probably, in terms of what dunk he does, probably like a two-handed reverse jam, double pump, something like that. OG's got hops. He's absolutely
That OG double pump. Yeah.
He loves doing reverse dunks. He loves doing two-handed dunks. The other day, he even did a one-hand dunk in transition, which he rarely does. Kind of like a LeBron, you know, like extend out one-handed dunk. I mean, you know, it's probably OG. But he will definitely be the fourth finish.
Speaking of, what's this about an NBA All-Star game?
The NBA is very greedy, as you
might know. That's like wild. And doing it in Atlanta, no less. Like,
I know.
Like, come on, guys.
Okay, how do you feel about the fact that the NBA is spending it like, well, we're going to do this and then raise money and donate it to HBCUs? Like,
No, it'd be like if you came to my house, set it on fire, and said, "Don't worry, Josh, I've called 911 for you." I'm like, you're not helping by making things worse.
Just do it. Why can't you just do it? You know, the NBA has plenty of money. If you want to donate, just donate.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, what is that All-Star game even going to look like? You can't even have attendance, and you know players are going to be having people understand NBA All-Star Weekend is a networking event, and there will be plenty of networking for the players. And
in Atlanta, no less.
In Atlanta. And
Lou Williams and Jack Harlow are going to bring the league to Thunder. And they can't do this. You cannot do this.
You can't do it, man.
How are you gonna bring every team together for a weekend of fun sports and maybe a little debauchery, and then send them back to their home cities and expect trip to be sweet? We can't do this. It is unacceptable.
No, it's kind of a ridiculous idea just from a COVID perspective. But I think the NBA is probably trying to sell some sponsorships. I think this idea that they're like, oh, we're doing this for the public good. Like, the NBA has to stop saying, we're going to do this for the public good. Before it was, we will not jump the line for vaccines. Now they're like, we're going to take the vaccines. So we're going to show people that it's safe to take the vaccine, which I'm like, yes, I appreciate that. But also, that's not why you're jumping ahead for the vaccine, man. Just stop being disingenuous. If you want to do something selfish, just do it. Just do it. People understand.
If you want to board a plane and fly to the Yukon to get your own vaccine, the world will get to hate you. And that's just the way it is. Like,
that's just, it's fine. We all know how the world works, man. We'll still watch basketball, even though if you got a vaccine, it's fine.
Yeah, we're already like watching basketball in like the product is so twisted right now because you're watching these guys play basketball in the middle of a global pandemic where they're not supposed to hug, but all they want to do is hug after games. Like, it's ridiculous. We're all complicit in this decision. So if you're gonna do nasty stuff like skip the line and get vaccines and tell the rest of the world that we're doing it to set an example, just do it.
That's what I'm saying. Just do it. Don't tell me the other stuff. Just do it. Okay. Follow Nike's slogan.
It's gonna be between me and my maker for feeling bad about it, and that's all there is. Like,
it's not great. Another question from Logan, which with COVID clearly affecting most teams, do you think most teams would just end up being 500?
I mean, no, honestly, the Lakers are good. The Lakers are good.
No, of course, most teams, though. Most teams.
Most teams.
I mean, every year, most teams finish mostly above 500, man. I mean, that's how, these games
most work. Teams, yes.
Yeah. But no, this year it does seem like particularly, I mean, aside from the Lakers and maybe the Clippers.
And
Who is like you know, far and beyond everyone else. I don't really see it.
No, they're the only good teams. And
like
the Lakers,
Brooklyn, I guess, one now that they have all their guys and they can play a few games.
Not until they trade for Kevin Love. What an insane option. Yeah. What is wrong with you? Like, you do not need Kevin Love.
I was going to say, how much is Joe Tsai worth, man?
I don't know.
Vice chairman of Alabama. $13 billion. All right.
I can probably ask Jack Ma for some extra money. Exactly. Now that Jack Ma's home. Jack Ma bike.
I can't have this conversation. Next question from Kate. Our favorite. OG and Fred have a new commercial promoting Axe body spray. Skate rose / skateboard scent. Have you ever smelled the skateboard? I don't know, but I can't imagine it's necessarily pleasant. Featuring a scarf made of roses. But was Fred the backup plan? Was this commercial intended for Surge and OG? So first off, Josh, have you seen this Axe commercial?
Indeed, I have. Mm-hmm. It's not my favorite Raptors themed commercial, mostly because what the hell does Rose and skateboard smell like?
Yep.
And it's too confusing for me to like get past that. It's like, does it smell like grip tape? And roses really smell like as Andre 3000 taught us, smell like doo-doo. So does it smell like doo-doo and grip tape? Like, that sounds bad. Does this Axe body spray smell like adhesive on grip tape and poo? Because that's not a good smell.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I mean, look, we could talk about the merits of Axe as a product. What do you think of the acting? Since this is a Raptor show, what do you think about the acting chops of Mr. Fred VanVleet and Mr. OG Anunoby?
You know,
these guys getting Emmys or
I don't think men's are getting Emmys for this one, I'm afraid. OG is like an okay pitch guy. He can do the OG thing. Mm-hmm, yeah. I think
Fred's a little too cool to do these commercials. Yeah. Every time Fred does a commercial, I'm like, there's no energy in any of this.
Yeah, I think like Fred does the commercial, like he gets told about the number and then he looks at his Shopify store. He's like, what am I doing this here for? And he just kind of, he isn't, I would love to see, though I liked his and one stuff last year. I don't know.
He was mostly just dribbling though.
That's true.
Yeah, which of course, like that's the standard NBA player commercial. I think, you know, so it's interesting because before I thought Fred was taking on these commercials because his deal was relatively small by NBA standards. So yes, go ahead and eat some Osmos for money. Canadian Tire ASMR, go ahead and do it. Jif Peanut Butter, go ahead. You know, everything, right? But now that he signed that contract, he's still doing these commercials, which just makes me believe that he just likes acting and doing commercials. Do you think this is just like a secret passion? Like this is like Barry, you know, he's a professional basketball player.
Barry, well, what a great reference
on one side, but he's also secretly wanting to act. So I think Fred's just doing it for the love of the game at this point.
Yeah. I think that if you had to, like, I imagine, you know, JQ walks into the locker room after a game and says, "Hey fellas, we have this brand sponsorship from, I don't know, whoever would sponsor something." I don't want to put in names so that they don't sponsor this show. And everybody has to like raise their hand to do it. And then I can't really imagine many voices coming up before Fred to say, yeah, I'll do that.
I think he genuinely loves acting. I think this is my theory now, because he signed an $85 million commercial deal, but he's now selling Axe body spray.
I think he also likes doing stuff. Like
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think Pascal likes doing stuff. Like, I think Pascal wants to like be left alone and play basketball, hang out with his siblings.
He's got huge leave me alone energy this year.
Yeah. I think Fred will hang. Like, Fred will,
he'll
take something away from the experience of being on set in a productive way, and he'll think about it and he'll apply it to his other ventures. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I really like his American Express commercial years ago.
Yeah. I think the more serious the commercial, the better Fred is going to be, because he has a serious personality. Yeah. Axe is all about being random and weird. So yeah, go ahead and sign, you know, OG for the deal. That makes sense. Fred was a weird choice, personally, I thought. But honestly, there's just not that many marketable players on the Raptors at the moment. Like, who else would you actually advertise? Obviously, Yuta Watanabe can sell rice cookers now, but like, aside from that, like, what else?
It actually goes back to like a question that I ask all sorts of Raptors fans is like, who from the core from this era will be doing color commentary for this team in 15 years? And there's not an answer, which sucks, but it's not. It's just the.
I mean, Fred could do it, but Fred will probably be better as a coach. Or
Fred's gonna coach.
He should coach. Yeah, he should coach the Raptors right after Kyle coaches the Raptors. Just keep taking Kyle's job.
Kyle's not gonna coach the Raptors. I would
love if Kyle coached the Raptors, but this man will pick up more texts than Rasheed Wallace. This guy might coach only a third of the games because he got thrown out of the other two thirds.
Yeah, I think that. There is not a Raptor currently with the team or who is with the team on the championship team who will do color commentary, and that's a problem. It's not good, but it's, I think, the truth. Like, could you imagine Norm doing color with, I don't know, Sean Woodley when he gets that job? Like, it's not gonna happen.
I mean, I'd be thrilled for Sean, but would I be thrilled to tune in?
You know what I mean? Like, I'm thinking of a guy
who needs so much personality, and we are quite spoiled. I think, you know, I think people get on Leo, but even Leo's better than the average color commentator in the NBA. I've watched a lot of other games, man. Trust me, he's better than the average, even if it is just twine and wine and stuff. I mean, I think they have good jokes, good banter, you know, great line this week. Maybe the line of the week was, that's a career high in smiles for OG. Like, that's actually pretty good. Jack obviously is like elite.
I'll never forget.
Devlin's great. Like, I mean, not even Devlin. I mean, even like Devlin in his role is also really, really great. Like, Raptor fans are really spoiled in terms of options. So it's hard to do that job.
Which was the Raptors call guy who was saying Edelweiss from Sound of Music after a Raptors win in New York City? I want to say it was Devlin.
That sounds like something Jack would do, to be honest.
Maybe it was Jack.
He does all the singing, which, you know.
Yeah. And maybe it was Jack, but that's like stuff like that's like truly like bonkers and iconic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just don't see like a Raptors player fitting into the spirit that the team's broadcasts have had. The only guy who could maybe do it, and it would just, you would really need a great play-by-play guy, would be OG, because it could just be really.
Ooh, yes, the ad libs.
Like, yeah.
OG would have great ad libs. Which is what you need from a color guy
is
great ad libs. Because, you know, a good play-by-play guy like Devlin is going to fill in so many gaps.
But OG, I would really love to watch OG break down tape. Because I feel like when he's in a session, Nick will point something out and he's like, yeah, cool. And he say, yeah, cool. And then he'll do it, but he'll not have it. He won't be animated at all.
Yeah. Back to Kate's question, though, because we actually didn't answer Kate's question, even though we spent more time on this one than all the other ones. Was the original commercial intended for Serge and OG? Because in the commercial, if you haven't seen already, OG is FaceTiming Fred, and Fred opens a box, and inside the box, there is a scarf made of roses, and then they talk about skateboards and roses. It doesn't work whatsoever in terms of, as a commercial, but... Yeah, do you think it was intended for Serge? And yes, I think absolutely the commercial was intended for Serge.
Yeah.
A, Serge had already...
It has a scarf in it.
Yeah, it has a scarf in it. B, Serge was already with Axe, and they've been doing commercials together. So has Fred, by the way. Fred has been in some Axe commercials. So has Kyle. So Axe has definitely had access to many players on the Raptors roster. But yeah, this seems like something that was intended for Serge. And honestly, you know, this just reminds you once again, like, not only is there a defensive drop-off with the center position and an offensive drop-off with the center position, there's also a personality drop-off as well. And this made me miss Serge watching his commercial, which, Also, by the way, the last time I used Axe was grade 7 in probably gym class. You know how in middle school, when you're in like the boys' changing room, all the guys are just spraying Axe at each other nonstop.
Yeah.
And then after school, like trying to light the Axe on fire with a lighter.
Yeah.
So, Maybe I'll smell like
skates. Everybody smelled like skates. I never got Axe.
My parents
didn't believe in it. They're like, what are all these white kids spraying themselves with? And it was just the non-starter. Just
deodorant on, man.
Yeah.
Move on with your day.
You have Speed Stick at home. That's good enough.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, I grew up with Speed Stick at home.
Absolutely. I think the purpose of especially cheap deodorant is to be discreet. Yeah. You just roll it on and then you don't smell. But I don't think the purpose is I want everyone to smell my cheap deodorant, which is why I've always fundamentally been confused with Axe. If you wanted to put on deodorant, or like if you wanted to put on cologne, you probably wouldn't want to smell like a skateboard. But again,
and roses. So you're gonna smell.
I don't. That's understand. Like a real like. How does that even naturally occur? Like skateboards and roses at the same time.
That's what Bart Simpson smells like after he like ruins Flanders' garden.
Yeah, that's, pretty much. That's what you're going for. Yeah.
You're going to smell like Bart Simpson.
Yeah. All right. A few more questions, and then we're gonna get to our signature segment. This one from KXNG. Hi, William. Why do I go to university when I spend more time thinking about Matt Thomas's playing time than I do managerial accounting? I think, one, accounting is objectively way more boring than basketball. Nick Nurse famously studied to be an accountant and chose to coach instead in the UK. He's like, no, screw that. I'd rather... rather see the world. You know, Alex Wong, friend of the podcast, obviously, is also a guy who did accounting and then switched to basketball. I think accounting is just a boring job, period. Asad is also an accountant, the slander expert on the show.
Swear.
But, you know, I know he loves basketball way more than, honestly, anything else in life, but probably definitely accounting. So accounting is just boring. And also, when you're in university, like, you know, yes, you're studying to do something, but you're also trying to, like, distract yourself because you have way too much time. So yeah, Matt Thomas's minutes, man, that's also a reasonable thing to think about.
Well, you started in biochem, then you went to economics.
I studied chemical biology and then I finished in economics. So clearly halfway through that I was like, this also sucks, so maybe I'll write about
it. So we started writing for the school paper.
Yeah,
look at you.
I know,
right? What it's been like. That's like what you got 7 years ago started writing.
Yeah, damn,
my boy, look at you go.
Thank you, man. Yeah, the other day I was like, TBJ was No Dunks was celebrating the 15th season, which spans the Basketball Jones, the Starters, and now No Dunks. And I was thinking, like, man, I love the show, and I was like a devoted listener to pretty much all the Scores podcasts. And then I was like, if I want to work somewhere, I want to work at the Score and do podcasting. And then I actually did that. So salute to the
You'll love to see it.
You'll love to see it. All right. Two more questions. Those are from Sahal, our guy. Exactly. How will you react when Liverpool takes a fat L on Thursday to Ndombele and co? That's not happening. Okay. I understand Liverpool's in a bad stretch here, but you know, they're still ahead of Spurs. And yeah, I just have to refer you to the last game that the two teams played. I know Jose was very upset and said the best team lost tonight, but realistically, you know, they just needed to defend a corner from Bobby Firmino, who's pretty much only scored like 3 goals all year, and one of them was against the Spurs. So I'm going to enjoy it. And if they lose again, well, I don't know. It's been pretty painful as a Sporting fan in the last month or so. But such is life. The two teams both won championships like within the last 2 years, which is pretty great. And the last question.
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah. Last question from Alex. If the dealer is showing 6 and you've got 12 in blackjack, are you staying or taking a card? Josh, first off, I'll flip that to you. Do you play blackjack? And are you got 12, and dealer showing 6?
Yeah, probably I would hit. Is this like a rookie mistake to do?
I don't know. I don't play blackjack like that. The people's reply is never hit a hard 12 against 6-5-4-3, only 12 against 2 or 7 to ace. Okay. Everyone else says take, double down. You got to hit that shit. So really, it's like a 50-50 proposition. I don't know. I wouldn't be playing blackjack in the first place, honestly. Like, if I'm going to bet, I'd probably play poker.
Yeah, blackjack seems like you really have to know how to play blackjack to not just get taken for a ride.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Seems like a game with, like,
kind of a boring game. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, it's like, well, I also think poker's a boring game because you, like.
No, come on.
What? But when people sit down to play poker, they're like, we're going to be here for, like, several hours because nobody's going to do anything unless they have a great hand. I'm like, I just want to, like, isn't the fun thing about gambling is getting your heart rate going? It's just.
Well, then you should like blackjack then, because you could cycle through many hands very quickly.
Yeah, but like,
you'll be in all the hands.
From everything I've learned, you need to play blackjack for like hours and hours and hours to not make any money, but to like advance. It's just gambling is profoundly boring. Like sitting in front of a slot machine for hours and hours seems just like a grind.
Yeah,
bad for your back. To think that's the thing about blackjack that I want everyone to take away. Like, think of your traps. Like, your upper back's going to be really sore.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't play blackjack, so unfortunately, Alex, I can't answer this. But if you want to restart the weekly poker game, please do so, because I could use some things to do during the wintertime. In terms of the last segment of the podcast that we have come to, Malachi's missions, formerly known as Stanley's suggestions. Stanley is dominating at the NBA level, so he no longer needs
formerly known as Rondé's recommendations.
And yes, that's true. And Rondé cracked the rotation too. So listen, we're trying to put all our goodwill and good positive energy into Malachi's success for this year and beyond. Josh, do you have a Malachi mission for this week?
Well, first, I wanted to ask, what did you think of Lupin? I heard you watched it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Binged it out for date night. And yeah, it was really good. Really fun. I like heist. It's just heist things, yeah. You know? And it was enjoyable on that front. Omar Sy was quite good, as he always is. I did really enjoy when he dressed up like Uncle Drew for that TV interview. Why did he do that? It was clearly him. And also, by the way, the computer-generated image was too scary. Like, it looked so much like him that I was like, all right, I'm not going to commit crimes. There's no way they're not going to recognize my big head. I'm just going to be like, all right, find the biggest head you can on this, like, suspect sketch composite tool.
Yeah, just saying it.
Suspect enhanced. AutoCAD. And they're just going to be like,
they have plus button.
Yeah, just the biggest head. And yeah, so I wouldn't commit crimes personally, but no, it was very fun, very enjoyable. And yeah, so I hope Malachi also took it in.
I'm sure you did. So this week, I have two suggestions. One is the Tiger Woods documentary. I'm recommending that now because I still want to watch it. Tiger Woods, probably one of the most compelling sports figures of the last few decades. Broke ground in the sport. Obviously, huge scandal, made so much money from Nike, just really interesting figure, looking forward to watching it. But the other suggestion I had is on Sunday, we celebrated my mother's birthday. So I wanted to recommend to Malachi, who, you know, seemed very close to his family from the shot of them on draft night, to take my suggestion and follow after me and send your mom some flowers. It's the middle of January, probably not the most, you know, joyful time of the year. I don't know when your mother's birthday is, Malachi, but for you and for all of our listeners, you know, take a moment, do something nice for your mom. I'm sure she'd appreciate it if you're lucky enough to have her in your life. Happy birthday, Judy. When dad listens to this, I'm sure he'll call you over and say, check this out. But those are my suggestions for the week.
That's very sweet, man. That's very sweet. Malachi, my suggestion for this week is, again, you know, look, listen, self-care during winter is extremely important. I mean, you're not in Toronto, and today there was like 10 centimeters of snow, so that's
so brutal.
Yeah, it's not great. Although, to be honest, it's been a very mild winter. Anyway, winter self-care is very important. So, you know, going back on, I think, 2-3 weeks ago when the Raptors are losing, I suggested people to listen, or Malachi to listen to the Nocturnes by Chopin, by Frédéric Chopin. Today, I'm going to go along the same lines and recommend the works of Joe Hisashi, who is probably better known for his work with the Studio Ghibli movies. He made the scores for those, and honestly, they're really great. So, yeah, if you need to, cool off or relax after a long day, I mean, listen to his music. It's quite delightful. So that does it for this week, Josh. Hopefully the Raptors can win. Hopefully it's a 3-0 week for the Raptors, or 4-0 week. With Milwaukee coming up, it's probably going to be tough. But yeah, I don't know, man. It'd be great if they can win some, because this show is way better when we're both happy. So
I kind of like it when things are going badly. It's just kind of fun. I think when things are going well, everyone's just like, I don't know. Call I always go back to is early in the call and show. Somebody called and said that Giannis is a fraud. The Raptors proved that he's not that good. Mm-hmm. And then seeing the Lakers kind of throttle the Bucks last Saturday, whatever, when they played, it's kind of like, LeBron kind of took it to Giannis, and that's got to be scary. But the Raptors aren't going to win tomorrow, but maybe they will. Who knows?
Yeah, my favorite I do like the stories that come out of the Bucks, because, you know, there was a story this offseason of Giannis training to improve his free throw shooting. And so he'd be in the gym, and every time he missed a free throw, his wife would have to carry their newborn baby and run a lap around the gym. And then he proceeded to just have like some horrendous free throw shooting nights, including a game against Dallas where he shot 1 of 10 from the free throw line. So hopefully that happens.
They beat the Bucks if they beat the Mavericks if he hits his free throws.
Well, no, they beat the Mavericks anyway. That's
no, fine, they did beat them. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But
it's not close. Like, I think it was a one possession win, right?
Yep. Yeah.
The Mavericks are bad. That sucks. Sorry.
How do you think we're gonna guard Giannis? So we're probably OG on.
No,
him.
We're not going to.
Aaron Baines are the
rim. Yeah, OG will have.
Have you seen the types of dunks that Giannis is trying to throw down at Aaron Baines? Just look it up on YouTube. That's my other Malachi mission. Is look up Giannis, Aaron Baines.
So I hate it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Josh, that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Send in more questions next week. And stay good. Wash your hands.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.